70. I'll switch to the radio mic seat.
Thank you.
not to do my will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. Oh, that doesn't really tell us very much yet, does it? We're going to look at that. But we need to see it with the sentences that are around it to understand the setting. As I've said, at the beginning of John chapter 6, Jesus uses a small amount of food to feed a crowd of thousands. It's the boy's picnic that the boy shares with Jesus, and Jesus then gives thanks to God and shares it around a vast crowd. And it's the people eating that meal who are coming to Jesus and talking to him, which is why they're talking so much about eating bread. So that's why it's the topic of conversation. Upon the slide, Mark puts a heading for the first thing I want to show you. Jesus came to give life, but people do not accept him. People came to give life, but people do not accept him. So they come and they find Jesus. The first verses I read were about how people saw Jesus had left. They went after him, they find him, and ask him, verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, which is Hebrew for teacher, when did you get here? Verse 26, Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. What do you mean? They had seen the sign. That's why they're all here. And Jesus says that's why they're here. He says you're here because you want more bread. But his point is they've not seen it properly. That incredible miracle that Jesus done, that sign was a signpost, and they were meant to follow the arrow of the signpost, which is saying, look at Jesus. Jesus has come to give life, but people do not accept him. Because they were looking for food to fill their stomachs. And Jesus is saying in this passage, he hasn't come to give food for the stomach, but to give eternal life. Verse 27, do not work for food that spoils, food for the stomach, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. He's not saying to Christians here, we must never go to work or never go into the kitchen to prepare food. But when people come to Jesus, he's saying to them, don't focus on food now. Don't come to me for food for your stomach. Ask me for spiritual food, for life. But they still don't understand. So they say, verse 28, what must we do the works God requires? What must we do? They think if we're good enough, if we try enough, we're going to do what God wants, and he will give us what we need or what we want. Jesus hasn't come to make people religious and give them lots of things to do. He says they say what works should we do? He says there is one work. He makes this important difference. They say what lots of things, what list have you got, what works? He says one work. Verse 29, Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Accept Jesus. Trust him as the way to life with God. Obey him as God. So they say, verse 31, they asked him, what sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors, our forefathers, ate the manna in the wilderness, as it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Wasn't that amazing? The reason they're there is that Jesus had performed a miracle. He performed a sign. He's given them a miraculous amount of bread. And now they're saying, give us a sign that we'll believe you. They're stubbornly not trusting him. And that's an example of how rotten our human hearts are. We believe that God will give us. If now you give me a sign, then I believe. And he does it, and we say, well, just to be sure, give me another one. And we explain them away. You see, our problem is much deeper than God doing impressive signs to change our minds. We need a deeper change in our hearts. They remember the time when Moses had been leading the people of the episode that Sally had read. And they'd be given food day by day. So that's what they're talking about in verse 31. Our ancestors, our fathers, ate the manna in the wilderness. said to them, very truly I tell you, it's not Moses who's given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. You think Moses gave you the bread is from God, but you don't recognize God at work. And they don't, because they say, verse 34, so they say, always give us this bread. They still think about bread for the stomach. People do not accept Jesus for what he comes for. He comes to bring life, to give life, but people do not accept him. And we will find this when we are telling people about Jesus. We will come across this. We will want to tell them, find out about Jesus, come to church and learn about Jesus. He is able to give you life with God. And they will say, will Jesus give us bread? Will Jesus help us with our money troubles? Will Jesus sort out my children's education? Will Jesus make me feel happy? We're just interested in what we want in our agendas, in our preferences. And so we do not accept what Jesus comes to bring, to give. So we say to others, Jesus came to bring life with God. And they'll say, well, I'm happy enough with life without God, thank you. But I'll use Jesus if he'll make my life better. In our local church England school, where some of the children from this church go, there's a national syllabus that they follow, which includes some sections that say how the teaching of Jesus helps us look after the environment and ensure equality for all people. Now, there is no difference in that teaching from the school down the road, that it is not Church of England to look after the environment and ensure equality. All that Church of England school is doing, all that the National Service is doing, is using Jesus for the things that we want: environmental care, equality. I'm not saying those are bad, but that's not what Jesus came to do. And so for many people in England this year, Christmas will not be a celebration of what Jesus came to do. Maybe they will feel sad for the baby in the manger. Maybe they'll enjoy hearing those same old songs as they go around the supermarket and the lights up in the windows. Maybe they'll include Jesus in the school play. But they won't accept it for what he came to bring. Jesus came to bring life, but people do not accept it. Now, it raises a difficult question, doesn't it? How could anyone then become a Christian if miracles are not enough? Remember this, what's happening here in John chapter 6. Jesus has fed an enormous crowd, and they still aren't getting that all they're interested in is the bread for their tummies. They're not interested in who Jesus is and what he's offering. How will we ever learn to see beyond what we want, to know God, and have the life that he gives? The next slide I have marked tells us the second point from today's talk. Jesus came to give life. People don't accept him. Jesus came to give life. Jesus came to get his people forever. That's the answer. That is how it's possible to have life, is that Jesus came to get people. And he's talking about himself as giving life, as essential to life with God as food is for our bodies. And so he says, I am the bread of life. Verse 35, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. So what he's saying here is that the bread they ate and is in their stomachs is a picture of what Jesus brings. They are talking about bread in their mouths. Jesus is saying that's an illustration, a visual aid, non-verbal communication. Just as food keeps you alive, Jesus gives you life with God. That's hard for us to grasp what Jesus is saying here, because many of us have never really felt hungry. For these people in the wilderness, they either had bread or they died. It was essential to live. It wasn't just, oh no, I don't want bread today, I'd rather have rice. Can't we have potatoes? And there wasn't a choice. It was food or death. that's the point of what Jesus is making. He's saying, I'm the food that's alternative to death. I'm the food for life with God, which is alternative to being cut off and dead to God. That's who Jesus is. Maybe you've never been hungry. Perhaps think about that time you were in the swimming pool and stuck under water and you thought your lungs would burst because you were desperate for oxygen. Jesus is the oxygen of our life with God. The astronauts in space, if the oxygen runs out, they panic. It's the end for them. The people in the desert, if they run out of water and bread, they panic. It's the end for them. Jesus is saying he's that essential for our life with God. We don't have Jesus, we won't have life with God. But he does come to bring life, eternal life, which is not just life going on forever. It's a switch from being dead to God to being alive. It's a switch from being condemned and guilty to being forgiven and loved. We pray we're looking for bread for their stomachs. Bread every day, day by day. Bread like their forefathers had in the wilderness. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Verse 35 again. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. You see that the bread that Jesus is, the food he is a one-off meal that lasts forever. That doesn't mean if you just become a Christian and then you never deal with Jesus again. We need to keep praying to him, reading the Bible, meeting as Christians, learning to serve God in our life. Those things help us and nurture us. But it's that one-off coming to Jesus that means we're never going to have that emptiness that we had before we were Christians. And once we come to him, we have life and it will never be taken from us. These men who are talking to Jesus, they're just talking about their food day by day. Jesus is talking about life with God that will never end. Verse 35 again, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. What does that mean to come to Jesus? It means to believe and trust that he really is God's Son from heaven. That he is the one who can give us life that no one else can. To obey him as our Lord and our God. So, putting it together, what's this verse 35 saying? Those who accept Jesus as God, who trust him to be their Saviour, they have life with God forever. It will never be taken away from them. But if Jesus is rejected by people, Jesus came to give life, but people do not accept him, how is anyone going to have that life? Answers in verse 37. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Jesus is not just saying, when someone comes and prays to me, I'll welcome them. He's saying, if anyone puts their faith in me and acknowledges me as God, I will hold on to them. And I will never, never let them go. Father gives them to the Son. They will come to Jesus, and Jesus will hold on to them. Verse 37, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. So Jesus is saying here, he didn't just come to offer a rescue. Come out of his market store and say, go come buy one of these, I've got a good sale this year. You know, a good deal, two for one, all the family can become Christians. It's not like that lifeguard who stands at the edge of the pool and shouts at the person who's drowning and says, move your arms a bit more like this, or shall I throw in a rubber ring? It's like a lifeguard who dives into the pool, who grabs the person, pulls them to the edge of the pool, and gets them out. That's why he came at Christmas. He came to get people. Now, why is that? Let's look at verse 38 to 40. When we get to this one part where Jesus says, this is why I came. Verse 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but is why Jesus came. This is why he was born. Verse 38, I have not come to do my will. I've not come to do my will. I've come to do the will of my Father who sent me. What is the Father's will? Verse 39, this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he's given me. I'm not going to lose any of them. None of them are going to be left behind. Instead, I'll raise them at the last day. Takes me to thinking, so I'll put it on the slide. Mark, can we have that? Try and help us think this through. Here we go, I've come down from heaven to do the will of him who sent me. What is the will of him who sent me? The will of him who sent me is that I shall lose none of all those he's given me. And rather than lose them, I'll raise them up at the last day. Let's just run through that. Next slide. I have come down from heaven. Why has he come down from heaven? Next slide. To do the will of him who sent me. Okay, that's why Jesus says he's come. What is the will of him who sent me? Next slide. The will of him who sent me is that I shall lose none of those he's given me. Okay, so I've come down from heaven not to lose any. Next slide. I shall lose none of all those who give me, but rather than losing them, I will raise them up to the last day. So it's a sort of a chain. If you link together the first and the last points of the chain, what's it all add up to? I have come down to raise them up to the last day. See how that works. Just work up, show the links there. Jesus has come to do the will of the Father, the will of the Father, rather than losing anyone, then he will raise them up the last day. That is his purpose for coming. So Jesus has come to give life, not just to give me bread for today. He is the bread that gives me eternal life. Bread today is a picture of eternal life with God forever. And that is why Jesus came. And his purpose here is saying is that it's to get people for certainty, not just to offer bread if anyone would like it, but to get people by giving them that life. Can't help thinking about football at the moment. It's just all over the news all the time. So let me give you an illustration from football. What we're watching in the World Cup in all the games is the striking that lead forwards trying to get the ball forward, aren't they, to the front of the pitch, kicking across the goal. So the striker then kicks the ball into the goal. So the player on the wing has the ball, trying to kick it into the middle in front of the goal so that the striker kicks it into the goal. So many things can go wrong there. The player who's on the wing with the ball, they can trip up, they can slip because they're turning so fast, they can be tackled, they can run too far and go over the line. Maybe Japan did that, maybe they didn't. They can miss it and not kick it into the middle as they intended to. But even if it gets into the middle, and the striker can run in too fast or too slow into the box, they can miss hit the ball, they can hit it, and the goalie can get it, they can be tackled. So many ways it can go wrong. And that's so exciting or marvellous when they get it right. And there's a brilliant pass and a brilliant shot and an excellent goal, particularly if it's your team. Lots of uncertainty. But with Jesus coming to perform the Father's will, there is no uncertainty. There is no uncertainty. The Father has his will, his purpose, that he gives to the Son. He gives to the Son the people that the Son is going to give eternal life to. The Son holds on to them. He doesn't drop them or lose them or forget them or get fed up with them. And he will guarantee that they get to the goal to the end. It is certain. Because it depends on God. And that is God's purpose. Jesus came to give life. He came to get his people. It's very different from us. We sometimes start a project and don't finish it. Might start to write an email, but you never send it. You think we're going to go to the gym or to the shops, but we're too tired. God is not like us in this way. God doesn't give up on his work. And in this instance, he's talking about Jesus coming to get his people, that they would be with him. Verse 37 again, all those the Father gives me will this Christmas, think about why Jesus came. He came to bring life. He came to get his people. You can think about it like this. He came to get me. Do you believe that? Did you say that to yourself in your bedroom this week? Jesus came to get me. If Jesus came to get me, he's not going to lose me. Our life with God is secure because it's paid for by Jesus and it's worked out by Jesus if we are Christians. This raises a bunch of questions. So here are some of them and some good answers. What about when I sin? Yes, I believe I'm a Christian, but I still get things wrong. Does that mean Jesus doesn't have me? If God had left us to walk the rest of the Christian life by our own strength, we would not get there. But he is with us. He is holding on to sinners whom he has come to get. I will fall on my face, and I do, again and again. I fall down, but I don't fall away from God, because he is holding me. If I'm a Christian, it was God's work to make me a Christian. If I'm a Christian, it was God's work to make me a Christian. It wasn't because I thought of my sin. So I've nothing to boast about. Everything to celebrate. What a great gift. It means I can be full of confidence. Because getting to the finish, getting across that goal, does not depend on me. The Father has given me to the Son, and the Son has promised that he will get me into the new creation. I can be confident. Another question, is God unfair? Because what about the people that he didn't come to get? Well, there is no unfairness with God, because no one is actually banging on the door of heaven with them. No one's banging on the door of heaven saying, let me in. All that God does with those people is leave them in their rebellion against him. But in his great kindness, he has chosen to step into the lives of some to get them. Hold on to them. Jesus has come to give life. He's come to get his people. Nothing is going to stop that coming to fulfillment. Does that mean I sit back and do nothing? It's another question. Well, because if I've been rescued from a life of being dead to God and far from God, to be back close to God and his child, that's my new life. That's good life. I'm going to want to learn to live that life in relation with that loving God. Of course, I'm not going to sit back and do nothing. He's given me this new life. I want to live it. Well, two more questions. What about people we know who used to go to church but now they don't? What about them? It seems like they just gave up on being God's family. Well, the way the Bible tells it is that people who used to come to church and then gave up and never come back are demonstrating they weren't true believers in the first place. Jesus compared them to seeds that are thrown in the ground and they look like they're going to grow and make a harvest, but never do. So some people are in church family, they have terrible experiences in life, but when are they going to give up? Does this mean God's abandoned them? If God's holding on to them, they won't give up. They may struggle. They may have doubts. But God's not going to let them go. He will not let go the people he came for. Well, then what's the point of taking these leaflets out? You know, where am I going? Hoping that many of us are going to stay behind for half an hour to deliver a few dozen leaflets. Why bother with that? If God's the one who comes and gets people, why don't we try and tell them about Jesus? Well, we do have trusting that God is going to make some of those people into his children. People reject into their lives. And we're hoping that he'll bring us to some that he is going to step into the life of. If he doesn't do it, they will remain shut out from him. They'll remain like these people who just come to Jesus. Jesus, give us bread every day, please. Jesus, give me good education for my children. Jesus, make me happy. Jesus, give me more money. Jesus, help me to have a happy family. People who are wanting God for what they want rather than coming to God for life with him. This Christmas, let's be glad for why Jesus came. He came to bring life and to make it certain. He came to get the people that the Father was going to give him and hold on to them into the new creation. Our life with God is paid for by Jesus and is kept by Jesus if we're Christians. So that forced to think. Thank you.